One quick verse for your seated, Job chapter 40, verse 1. While you're turning there, ladies, you've surpassed the deadline. Next weekend, they're leaving for the ladies' conference. If you have not signed up, you should talk to my wife. You need to still go. I didn't ask if you would go. I said you need to go. Even if you, I don't like those things. Well, that's okay. Then like the fellowship. And you need to be there. You will be thankful, even if nothing else, for the fellowship. You need fellowship. So I would encourage you to go. Job chapter 40, and then the rest, Brother Jerry's in the Ashton Bula service tonight, but you can talk to him for the men the following week. I trust many, many will be signed up. Have a good time. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." And Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." And then the Lord, answered the Lord unto Job out of a whirlwind. I won't read any more. The word whirlwind literally means hurricane. He answered Job out of a hurricane. I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight on this topic. Speak, Lord. And they've already prayed, right? You've already prayed? No? You should have prayed. Go ahead, let's pray.
Dear Lord God, we come before you for the service, Lord Jesus. I pray that you just open our minds, our hearts, and our ears, Lord God, and open us up to hear whatever he has to say for us, Lord God, and let you have your hand over him and speak through him, Lord God. And whatever he has for us today, Lord Jesus, that we'll just receive it and use it wherever it's needed. Remember it for all time, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. What I realized, I actually just tossed this text in here just a few moments ago. If you go back and you'll read, you're going to find quite a few chapters of some back and forth with Job and the Lord. Job had reached what I would consider to be a breaking point. And he gets done praying like most of us pray. Spending minutes or hours whining to God. Whining about everything that's wrong. Whining about what God is not doing. And the Lord answered him, the Bible says, and said, "Shall he," speaking of Job, "contend with the Almighty and instruct him? Shall you tell me what I should or should not be doing? Shall you give me instructions on how to be God?" And then he said, "Let the man that reproves God now answer this question." So Job answered. I've spoken many times about his response. It was a very sarcastic response. That's why when you get to chapter 42, you find the response is completely different. And when he gets done with the response, the Bible says the Lord again began to speak. And you'll find a chapter here, the rest of this entire chapter, actually the next two chapters, the Lord just really takes Job to task. Now let's look at this just a little bit deeper and a little bit differently, if we may. And let me say it to you this way. Job is praying or whining about what God isn't doing and what God should be doing and what's not happening and what's still going on in his life. And finally, the Lord says, "Do you want to contend with me, and would you like to instruct me? Let him that wants to reprove God answer this question." So Job answers a not so sincere reply, which is the reason God then began to speak in a hurricane. You see, what Job had missed is he should have stopped talking a long time ago. But as his situation lingered and continued, boy, I really feel like the Lord would speak here today so that people would listen. As his situation just lingered and continued to persist, Job became more and more frustrated. as he became more and more frustrated, when you read through the text and through the entire book, you'll find Job's demeanor and his spirit changes. He never backslides, we will say. He never denounces God, but he becomes a complainer. And he becomes a whiner, if you please. Which I would suggest to you today in a very polite fashion is like most of our prayer lives. Most of our prayer lives, prayer really has become what it never was intended to be. Prayer was never intended to be throwing prayers your way and getting in a closet and just whining to God about everything that's wrong and telling God all the things you need him to do. And I'm all for asking. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. But asking and whining and complaining and I don't know why God's not answering me and I don't know why God's not doing, that is the same attitude that Job had. Now, I woke up this morning out of a dead sleep with this in my spirit. And I knew at that moment, with just those words, speak, Lord. And I knew at that moment, that is what I was to bring to you tonight from this pulpit. And so before I move on and read a few other verses to you, I want to say again and reiterate to you that we have chapters of Job going back and forth with God and complaining about his situation. Yes, he never quit on God. Yes, he didn't flat outright blame God. But it, in some ways, might have been a little worse because he was contending with God according to the Lord. He was contending and maybe suggesting that things should be a little different and becoming frustrated and talking about dying that we talked about last week. And it might have worked out completely different if Job just learned to, as the Bible says, the wise old Solomon said, a wise man shutteth his lips. And God comes back with the response that he comes back with. So let me say this to you very quickly, if I may. I know I come off a lot as being a critic of the church, and I am. And I don't mean this body, I mean at large. We are fools at best to think that the church is at large, globally, is a representative collectively of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world would not be in the condition it was in if the church was right, if the church had not erred and strayed. The Bible clearly talks about apostasy in the last days, which literally means a complete and total departure from the faith. And that doesn't mean they're all bad, and that doesn't mean all people within those churches are bad. But that means we've lost our way. So the question becomes how? How has the church gotten in the mess that it's in? How has the church come to the point where we're like a theater more than we are a house of worship or a house of prayer? And we would rather be sipping on coffee while the man is talking in his torn up jeans and his relevant t-shirt to make himself connect more with the younger generation than we would have prayer and get a hold of God. I'm going to tell you how. It has come to the place that it is because prayer has become what it was never supposed to be. And as I've said, it has become a whining session full of wants and needs. That's what prayer has become. I didn't say for everybody. I didn't say all people. But I say by and large. The evidence, folks, is out there. Now, if there's one area where I really got to learn to exercise wisdom and shutteth my lips, is when I see people that have just completely abandoned God. And then when there's a need in their life, oh, folks, pray for me. Pray that God will come to me and meet my need. I know I've wanted nothing to do with God, but now I need a quick fix. I need a needle. I need a shot in the arm. So pray that God, now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, and I'm not saying that's not a good thing. But do we really want God in our lives, or do we want God just to fix something else so we can move on with our life? It has become a request. That's all prayer has become. Feed my need. Meet me where I am. Do what I need you to do. Now, I don't know if you disagree with me, but it's all right if you're wrong. You can go home and pray about it. But that's why we've gotten in the pickles that we're in. And what we're doing is we're doing like Job. It's all talking and no listening. We get into our prayer time, if it's any lengthy at all, and I don't know what your prayer lives are like. It's full of talking and no listening. It's full of, and I'm not saying it's all bad. And hopefully there's some worship in there. But it's all our lips moving and none of God. I have trained myself sometimes when I go into prayer, I don't pray anymore. I'll just sit for a while and I'll just meditate until the Lord begins to put things in my spirit. Until the Lord begins to deal with me or the Lord begins to talk to me. This is the reason why Job said that God will come to you in the middle of the night and speak to you in your dreams. Because it's the only time our mouths aren't talking. Unless you're Cole and Colin and they talk all night long when they're sleeping. And so, it would benefit the church if we could get back to listening more than we talk. It would benefit us if we would spend time not making petitions and requests, because the Lord knows what your needs are. And I'm not suggesting we do not ask Him, but I am suggesting if you've made those petitions known over and over again, there's a time where God just wants us to stop and just listen. And I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture. So I want to read some passages to you. And I'll probably get about 6 or 7 of them, and you might not be able to keep up, so you might want to write them down and look later, whatever. But first, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 28, when the Lord gave instructions to leave Egypt, the Bible says it came to pass on the day when the Lord spoke unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. There was no discussion going on prior to this. There was no Moses asking God for some great wisdom or some direction in life. There was Moses alone, and the Lord comes to him in the stillness of the moment, and it gave God the opportunity to be able to speak without even being asked to speak. Without Moses seeking direct, God, what do I do with these Egyptians? That's not how it went. God just began to speak because he found a captive audience. I'm going to be honest with you. Can I get some of you all irked at me tonight? When 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock rolls around, meaning 7 p.m. or 10 a.m., fellowship should stop. Because it's no longer your time. It's God's. When that clock hits about 11:30 on a Sunday morning, we shouldn't be carrying on with, and I'm not saying this happens excessively at all, but it does. That's not a time to carry on a conversation. You want a fellowship? Go to ladies' conference. Or go to men's conference. Or stick around after service for a while. What I'm saying is when people are at the altar, that's not a time to fellowship. When people are lifting their hands and they're worshiping God, that's not a time to go, come on, listen to me now. That's not a time to walk up to them. Because this is God's hour and a half. And for some people, and I don't say this critically, but some people, they don't give God any other time. We'll deal with all the I'm too busy, God understands stuff on a different day. But at least you're here, and I'm thankful that you're here. But God wants our attention when we're here. It dawned on me today. No wonder the Lord said that, God, I chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. You know why? Because God said, when I get one man up there, you all got to shut up and listen to him. It's a time where you don't talk and you just listen. And we know that man is supposed to represent the voice of God if he himself has shut up and listened a little bit, rather than picked a pretty sermon to preach that he thought everybody would like and it might draw a few more people. Because when God speaks, it's not just to tickle us. And it's not just to make us feel good. Sometimes it is. And sometimes he wants to get in your business. Sometimes he wants to express disapproval of things in our lives. Sometimes he wants to encourage us. Sometimes he wants to remind us that through God all things are possible. But it's whatever God wants in his time. So God said, I'm going to choose a preacher that's going to get up, and you ain't going to like everything about him. And you, some of you aren't even going to like him at all, but you got to shut up and listen because he's not going to give you the microphone. Now, as funny as that sounds, I'm being serious when you think about that for a moment. So let's read the next one. Exodus 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, when you back up a verse or two, there is no documented scripture that says the Lord said that Moses said anything to the Lord. The people whined unto him, because that's what we do. We're good whiners. They whined unto Moses, and Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The next thing we see is God telling Moses, what are you coming to me whining for? He said, you've got what you need in your hands. Go forward. But my point is this. Moses did not petition God for any wisdom or direction. There's a time for that. That's not my message tonight. But there was an impasse. There was a problem. There was a situation. And God found Moses, again, obviously captivated. And he began to speak to give the direction that was needed so they could move forward. Okay, I'll say it this way before I read the next verse. If we would stop talking, sometimes you might already be through your mess. If we take some time and sit down and shut all of life off, and it's a whole lot harder now than ever before, we might have already had our answer. But we're too busy whining that God hasn't said anything to me because you want him to come in a big booming voice, and that's not how God always comes. He comes sometimes, Elijah, in the small, still voice, not in the fire, the earthquake, or any of those things. But we've got to learn to be listeners. We've got to learn to say, speak, Lord, and let me shut up and listen to what you've got to say to me. Hey, the preacher wouldn't even have to have such a hard time preaching if people let God speak to them. Can I give you a little secret? If the preacher can't preach you, God ain't speaking to you. I can promise you that because he chose men to preach this gospel. If you ain't listening to him for whatever reason, I promise you, you're not hearing from God. Whatever voice you're hearing, it's another serpent in the garden making himself sound like something he isn't. Exodus 16 and 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Go back to the first three verses. There's no request made to God. There's no God. What do we do again? Now, there are times he did. Again, I want to keep reiterating that, but not in these verses, because there are times God already knows the need. He's just waiting for somebody to listen for instructions. He's just waiting for somebody that will not talk and somebody that will not be too busy and somebody that will not be too important to hear what thus saith the Lord. And so in these texts, we find that Moses and other men and women were some of those people who were willing to listen. They had conditioned themselves and their spirit to hear what the Lord had to say when he needed to speak. And so they didn't have to go and beg God for the answer. God just spoke it to them because they were already captivated and ready to listen. Leviticus 16 and 1. During the Day of Atonement, the scripture says, the Lord spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into this holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, and that he died not, and that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. You can go on to read the rest. The context is there was, again, no petition. There was no, okay, God, what do we do now? Okay, what should I have Aaron do anything differently? No, because Moses, again, had already conditioned his life. This was a man that spent 40 years in the wilderness. This is a man, I'm talking before the Red Sea and all that nonsense, folks. I'm talking about when he left Egypt. He spent 40 years up there in the mountains taking care of his father-in-law's flock and of their sheep. And there was plenty of time for him to teach himself just to listen and not talk. Sometimes you need to learn not to run to Facebook and blab all your junk on social media. You need to learn to go into the prayer room and just shut up and say, okay, Lord, speak to me. speak. And if God doesn't speak in 5 minutes, stay seated and give him time. He's waiting for your head to clear. He's waiting for your heart to get conditioned. He's waiting until you're ready and willing to receive what the Lord has for you. What I'm trying to tell you with these verses is you do not need to always have to beg God. If you just learn to listen sometimes, he's trying to speak the answer to us. Now, when you don't like the answer, you know, it's another story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8. We're all fairly familiar with this one, 1 Samuel 3 and 8. Still one of my favorites. Let's start in verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." I just want to say, for somebody's benefit, there's a reason Samuel thought Eli, or he thought Eli was God and God was Eli. Not because Eli was God, because the voice of your pastor sounds like the voice of God. If you're not getting it from the pulpit, chances are you're not going to go somewhere else and get it. You can find another preacher. That ain't the right voice, though. That's a serpent. They might be good men of God. That doesn't mean they're your voice. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be." Eli preached the same message that I'm preaching to you tonight. "It shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went to lay down in his place. And he argued and said, "This is ridiculous. Why do I have to say, Speak, Lord? If God really loves me, God will just speak to me. This doesn't even make any sense. I'm going to go find me a different pastor that will give me better advice and better..." No, that's not what he said. And he laid down and he did what he was told. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then the Lord answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." You know what you just read? You just read that you have been praying and asking God for the same thing time and time again. And you haven't got an answer because you just haven't shut up and said, "Speak, Lord." We're waiting sometimes for God to thunder at us. And there are times that he does. But God, as we heard from Elder Ruth on Sunday in Ashtabula, is a perfect gentleman. He'll not force his way into anything. God would not speak to Samuel until Samuel responded, "Speak thou, Lord, thy servant heareth." Until then, God would not speak one more word to him. I'm trying to help you understand tonight that sometimes if you just learn to listen more, and that means we got to shut phones off, we got to shut emails off, we got to shut Instagram off, we got to shut all the garbage off, you got to shut your radio, you got to shut it all off, and you got to find yourself a place. The reason the church is in the condition that it's in is because we live in a world that's got more noise than ever before. And we are addicted and won't admit it. And we won't wean ourselves from our addictions. That's why a lot of our elders who didn't grow up under this technology generation have good prayer lives. They didn't grow up with Facebook and Instagram and whatever, gram and this gram and that gram and graham crackers and everything else stuffed in their face. They didn't grow up with none of that stuff. They just they knew how to listen and trust God. They taught themselves how to have a prayer life. But we can't ever reach them when we call them either. They don't keep their phones on them. I hate that. "I'm calling, answer." I'm just kidding. Not completely. We need to go back to pagers. Some of the younger people, page. It's a page. Matthew 8 and 8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." The centurion said, "God, you don't have to do any wow, pizzow, pizzazz, pajazz things, even though God does those things. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak it. I'll receive it. Just speak." Because he understood the power of the spoken word. "Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." You don't need 97 preachers laying their hands on you. You don't need 37 prayer cloths. from 59 countries. You don't need Ernest Angel's anointed water. You don't need anointed crosses by some other online ministry. All you need is the Lord to speak. That's all we need. And if we would learn to just let God speak, I'm telling you, the world would be a better place. And we would be better people for the kingdom of God. All you've got to do is let God speak. Learn to say those words. Speak, Lord. Learn to say those words to Him. Acts 18 and 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in a night by a vision. Be not afraid, hold thy peace. For I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Could it be that Paul wasn't allowing the Lord enough time to speak sometimes? And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now this is powerful for many reasons, because if I'm not getting my verses twisted, if you back up, I believe this was the time when Paul said to the Jews, I'm not going to beg you to receive this word. I'm going to go and I'm going to preach to the Gentiles. And so you find Paul basically frustrated in some respect, maybe even directionless. I'm not quite certain. But what I do know is without asking, without seeking, without begging God, God begins to speak to him at night. And God begins to give him instructions. And you know what Paul did? He stayed there for 6 months. He stayed there. He didn't stay there if they prayed 90,000 souls through to the Holy Ghost. He didn't stay there if there was no persecution. There was no prerequisites. It was the Lord has spoken, and I'm going to stay. And I'll be here as long as God needs me to be here until God releases me. We're not built this way anymore. Everything that we do has conditions on it. Everything. Yeah, I'll go. I just talking to a pastor today from, I don't know, he's way out there around the Texas, Louisiana area. He's interested in one of our churches up here that we've been trying to get filled. And I told him, I mean, he's 56, 57 years old, and he's preached all over the world, and he did missions into Belize for years. And he said, I just love reaching the lost, man. He said, it don't matter to me. You know, I love the challenge. I love going to hit in the streets. I told him, I said, I wish this younger generation was like that. But you can't get, this is not a blanket statement. It's a generalization, but you can't get people to go anywhere anymore unless there's a nice salary and some life insurance to go along with it. I know, there come the intellects. Well, Pastor, you gotta be able to take care of your family. Last I checked, the Lord was supposed to be the provider. He'll provide health for you until He provides life insurance. If you go in God's will, wherever God sends you. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me that God is not supposed to be our provider. But we want to be the provider. What makes us comfortable, our comfortable living. And so we're not hearing the voice of God anymore. And we're not going where God sends us.
I'm inclined to detour, but I feel like I shouldn't. I don't know if it's my flesh or my spirit saying no, so I might hold off for a second. So, too often, we come to the Lord with a list, but we never stop talking. It's almost as if you get in the prayer room and we get diarrhea of the mouth. So they used to call it. And once we get our electric bill out of the way, and we get our new car desire out of the way, and I definitely need a job too. God, I don't like this job. I've been here forever, all of 13 months or 2 months or 13 days or whatever they last now. And we get all that stuff out of the way. I don't know what to pray, Pastor. What they're saying is I don't know what to ask for. You don't know what to pray. If you got lost family, how about start there? If you yourself are not where you need to be, you can go there. But I'm saying when you get all that away, I might just listen a little bit. But we are so, I'll try and wind this down here quickly, but
You cannot deny, and you'd be crazy to, that our minds just move faster than we can even keep up anymore. Because there's too much information. Too much. You people that got 90,000 different social media apps on your phone, I don't even know how you keep up with it all. I gave up people talking to you. No, I don't even know what it is. I gave up. You know, I finally overcame the addiction of Facebook, thinking that people wanted to hear what I had to say. I wisened up and realized nobody cares. There are a few people that like what you post. They don't care what you got to say. They're not asking you what you got to say. They want to speak. That's what Facebook is all about. Me getting up and saying what I want to say. It's not about listening at all. So if I want to say something, I'll say it, and then I'm done. I'm moving on. I leave it. But my point being is all this stuff in our head, you need to understand that we don't slow our minds down anymore to hear what God has to say. That's why the world and the churches are in the condition that they're in. That's why we'll sit there and debate sin until Jesus comes and lays down the quote-unquote law, if you please. And that's why someone told me today, well, it may have been this preacher. Give me one second. I'm going to get it. It's right there. Now, the more I try and think of it, the farther away it gets from me. Don't you hate that? Oh, it's right there again, but now it's slipping. Let me go on, and I'm going to come back to it because I want to share this with you. Have you ever tried to hear what somebody was saying, but another person wouldn't stop with their mouth? Everybody amen that. How do you think God feels sometimes when we just want to talk, but we're not listening? We keep talking, thinking God wants to hear us. And I know you think, well, Pastor, Jesus loves us. He does want to hear. No, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he wants to. Job, shut up. Who are you to contend with the Almighty? Now answer me this, Job. Job answers. God says, all right, shut up again. Pull up your bootstraps like a man. You know, it's kind of one of those points, Brother Frank, when you get on your kids and they like horse around and finally, I don't know what you do. You get up, you blow blood vessels. You know, maybe you start screaming. I know you probably all have peaceful homes. I got to scream sometimes. That's just all I'm saying. You know, you got to, I mean, I all veins are popping out. My eyes are hanging out the sockets. And then they know it's time to shut up and listen. That's where God was with Job. Sometimes the Lord doesn't want us talking. He's the Almighty. He has all the answers. He has the beginning from the ending. It was already done before you were even thought about. And to think that God needs me to insert my opinion in everyday life's affairs is almost borderline ludicrous. I say this with no sarcasm. It would be our own form of an identity crisis because we really don't know who we are. We think we're somebody that we're not. We think God cares about our opinions, but he really doesn't. Now, you can show me scripture. Otherwise, I'm welcome to listen. But he's God. And Job drug this scenario out much farther than what it had to be because he wouldn't just stop talking and debating with God. Same thing happened with Moses in the very beginning. He began to tell God, I'm not qualified. Who are you to call me God? I'm not qualified. Now, get that, young men and young ladies. Oh, God, don't want to use me because who are you to tell God who to use? Who are you to tell God what characteristics or what qualities he looks for in you? No, God looks for something in us. And when he finds it, he says, despite everything, I can use you. But just shut up and stop telling me what you can't do and stop telling me what I can't do and stop telling me what you think I need to know. And so in this day of noise, we can't hear. And watch this. When we get frustrated with life, we get frustrated with God. You'll say, I'm not frustrated with God. Sure you are. God, he's the author of everything. So if you get frustrated with anybody, you're frustrated at God.
But when we do, what happens? We begin to panic.
Oh, I don't panic.
Yeah, you do. Just listen. See? You know, listen. You know, I know you probably think I'm cuckoo sometimes, and I know I am a little bit, but not when I'm at the pulpit. And I'm telling you, I've heard people argue with me when I'm preaching. I can hear it. I can hear it in the spirit. You don't think God reveals those things? Oh, yes, he does. He absolutely does. I hear responses. I hear comments. And I prove it to you sometimes. You want me to, but shouldn't have to. That's where faith comes in. So we get frustrated and we begin to panic. And panic leads to complaining. You don't believe me? Panic don't lead to complaining. Watch this. Give me a chair. Hurry up. Quickly. He's my son, so I can tell him. Come here. Bring a chair. Hurry up quickly. He's my spiritual son, so I can tell him now. Come on. Sit down. Put it down. Sit. Drive me somewhere.
Whoa! What are you doing? That's why I don't like to ride with you. I can't. You just, my God, have mercy. You take off.
See, frustration leads to panic. Panic leads to complaining.
What are you doing, God? I don't understand. I don't know why this hasn't changed yet. I don't know. I've been praying and nothing changing. Ain't nothing better. You keep saying it's going to get better, Pastor, but it's not getting better.
That's where Job was. Frustration always leads to complaining, leads to panic. Panic leads to complaining. Now, Kevin, you gotta do like I do. Now, I do that with some people. I ain't going to lie. And some people do it with me. There's no reason for it. It really isn't. I'm a good driver. I'm just aggressive. When you had 18 years in law enforcement, you will learn to be an aggressive driver. I mean, when you take off after somebody, you don't go. But I had to learn all this when it comes to airplanes, because that was my Achilles heel. Man, I'm panicking. So I had to just keep reminding myself. The Lord's in control. The Lord's in control. The Lord's in control. What's complaining going to do you on a plane, Patrick? Anything? What are you going to do? You going to try and jump out and then get sucked through the engine? No more complaining, that's for sure. Float 60,000 feet to the, or 35,000 feet, 40,000 feet to the ground? No, it's not going to work. This is what we do to the Lord. When we get frustrated, we begin to panic. We begin to complain to God. And when we complain, diarrhea of the mouth. No listening. And we don't listen. Now listen, you're going to disagree with me. Listen. We don't listen because there's a lack of faith. When we don't understand, we lose control of ourselves. But you will not understand everything that God is doing. If you can understand all that's happening, he's not leading. Because you'll never understand, Michelle, all that God is doing. It's not possible. So you learn to settle in for the ride and just trust him. You hit some bumps, you just trust him. Things look gloom and doom, you just trust him. When I started flying, I remember, we get ready to take off, right? Am I boring you? I'm almost done. We get ready to take off, and I'm a basket case, okay? I'm sitting there, I'm sweating. And I look next to me, and there's this dude. We ain't even left the gates yet. And I'm like, how do you people do that? And then you get up there, you know, like, and then they're there. And I'm sitting there like sweating bullets. I'm praying. I'm pulling my Bible. Now I'm getting holy now, you know what I'm saying? We all get real spiritual during those times. I don't read it any other time. Do you know how? Because they've learned to trust the system. They know what flying is about. They know these bumps are all part of it and they're normal. And they don't panic. That's the way our walk with God has to be. And when we don't panic, because see, when you panic, it's pretty hard to hear God when you're pretty stressed out and wound up. It's really hard. That's why the devil wants to get you all worked up. But God just wants you to listen. Just listen. And when you go in, try it sometime. When you go into your prayer room, Don't put a clock on God. Don't say, okay, I got 15 minutes, Lord, you got to speak here 15 minutes. Go in and get lost until you hear from the Lord. And you'll begin to hear from the Lord. I promise you. So, sometimes you just go in prayer and just say, speak, Lord. And then shut up. Because half of our problems would be solved if we just learned to listen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. I'll try to conclude with this verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to give you a lesson, and I didn't mean to take this detour, but I just feel like I need to. That scripture does not mean you call on God and you're guaranteed heaven. That is absolutely not what it means. Absolutely not. First of all, Paul's not preaching doctrine here. Paul's preaching faith. Secondly, if you look that up, that word saved literally means to be rescued. What happened when God called Moses out of the bush? He said, I heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. So he sent Moses to rescue them. But guess what? An entire generation still never received their promise because they died in the wilderness. When God rescues you, it doesn't mean you have received your promise yet. Absolutely. Just study it. You'll find it. But that's not my point. How then shall they call on him of whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And we're not going to stop there. How shall they preach except they be sent? So it's not just that a preacher, and he becomes that voice, as we learn from Samuel and Eli from time to time. Not time to time, anytime he preaches that word. But Paul also taught us that you may get up and scream and read some scripture. That don't mean you're a preacher if God hasn't sent you. Because when he sends you, then he anoints you. And then when you preach, you are or should be preaching under the unction of the Holy Ghost. A real preacher, a true preacher that has the mind of God, will wrestle more with his sermons than anybody else. Because God says, preach it, you say, I'd rather preach this. God says, I'd rather you go here, and you say, but I'd rather go here. And God says, but I want you to go back here, and you say, but could we just do this maybe today? And God says, I really think maybe this would be helpful. And God says, shut up! Who are you to contend with the Almighty? And you say, okay, listen, learn. Tell me what to preach. Truth, I'm being honest with you. I wrestle with more sermons than what you could imagine. I'm not saying I'm the apple of one's eye, the learning to trust the voice of the Lord, but I will tell you, almost every one of my messages are given to me the week before, the day before, sometimes a couple minutes before, a couple hours, because I don't want to preach it unless I really feel like God's in it, unless he speaks it to me. So let me close with this, so I don't bore you. I really would encourage you, whatever you're dealing with in your life, and not just dealing with, even when God's trying to give direction, I talked earlier about church. Doctrinal confusion is not, it's not of God. It's not okay that we all believe a little bit this way, a little bit this way. That's not okay. It's not okay. But until preachers themselves learn to shut up and get in a prayer room and let God speak to you, God can clear up all the mess. He'll clear it all up. He'll put your mind at ease. Yes, he will. Isaiah said,
with stammering lips in another tongue would he speak to this people? God will speak through our stammering lips in our other tongues. We're the vessel. He's the Messiah. And all I want you to do, and I know I've kind of wound it down, some of you are going to fall asleep on me. I really urge you, when you get in your prayer room, spend some time just listening. If you let the Holy Ghost lead you, you'll know maybe when you need to pray for some things, for some people. But then when you get that out of the way, shut up for a little bit. And then say, speak it. As Troy said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Speak it. Say, speak it. And meditate. Trust the Lord. He'll fix everything. Stand with me if you want. I can keep going on. We live in a world that doesn't want to listen. People want to do their thing. As a pastor, it's hard when you try to speak to people and they want to argue with you about everything. Imagine a world in the kingdom of God where, as a pastor, you could speak and people would just say, okay. Now, we're very fortunate to have a lot of that here. And for those people to say, I don't follow man, I follow God, you ain't following God if you don't follow man. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, just follow Jesus. He said, follow me. I'll follow Christ. You follow me. And this is going to be a great big trip. Israel had to follow Moses. They didn't lead themselves out. God has a system that he uses. And that system helps grow faith in us. I want you, if you would, to lift your hands right now. And I want you just to, now, don't pray. Just say, speak, Lord. God, teach me right now to be a better listener. Teach me right now, God, to be more hungry to hear your voice, to hear your words. I'm going to stop talking in just a moment as they get ready to sing lightly. But I really want you to learn to focus and trust in the voice of God. He'll clear up all confusion. He'll answer questions. He'll erase doubt. He'll get us all on the same mind. Just as they were in the day of Pentecost, it took them 8 days, but they finally learned to shut up and let God speak and let the Holy Ghost begin to move. I want to hear from you, Jesus. Lord, I don't ever want to get to the place where I, God, cannot hear the voice of the Lord, but I want to trust you. I want to hear from you. I want to make my petitions known, God, but then I want to let you speak when you need to speak to me. And I don't want to interrupt you, God. I don't want to walk over top of you. I don't want to speak over you, Lord. I pray tonight that you would teach us, oh God, just to trust you, to trust your voice, to hear your voice, God, to be sensitive, Lord, to hear. And I say, Lord, with this last parting words, would you speak to us tonight in Jesus' precious name? We pray. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just stay praying one more second. Just as Samuel struggled to understand it was the Lord that was speaking, many people today have asked me over the years, how do I know when it's God? That's where you need guidance in your life. You need direction, but you need to learn to be sensitive. But furthermore, you need to say, speak, Lord. And if it's the Lord, He's going to follow up with something with you. If it's an imitation voice, you'll know it. God will make sure that you understand it. But we've got to learn to know what is the voice of God. And that only comes through learning to listen and trust Him. Hallelujah.
Speak, Lord. To the place where your angels never cease to cry. Holy. Where the elders bow down and cast all of their crowns down at your feet.
Thank you.
They're going to keep singing just in a moment. You can be dismissed when you've got to go. I want to say this is another reason why closing our eyes in prayer is so important. Because when our eyes are open, we're looking around. And we're focused on other things. So when our eyes are closed, well, I just don't trust people, Pastor. Well, you're going to have to fix that. And you have to learn to trust people and trust God also. Amen. Yeah, I want you to go as long as you want.